gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, stephaniemiller.com. The website, Stephanie Miller. You can email us all at stephaniemiller.com.
Yes.
Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. Thank you. Jim's wearing a jaunty scarf today.
Well, I was.
Yeah, because it's so cold.
Because it's L.A. and it's hit, you know.
It's in the 40s.
50.
In the 40s.
Okay.
Which is shorts weather in Chicago.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Mama getting very excited for the big hometown show in Buffalo. Sexy Liberal coming to Buffalo. Tickets going fast. Hurry, hurry. Get your Sexy Liberal tickets. I've been emailing with my high school friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're having dinner before.
Yep.
My best friend said, I know you're going to be really busy and everything, but you're going to see us, right? Because you told me you wouldn't forget me when you're rich and famous. And I was like,
oh.
Of course I was lying about that. I was just tricking you into being in my stupid skits in high school.
Oh.
And then I also said, and by the way, I paid everyone to vote for you for Homecoming Queen.
Ouch.
Homely little thing that you were. She's gorgeous. All right, that was a joke. I said, I guess I can tell you now. Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. It's going to be StephCon, really, is what it's going to be. It's
Get ready, StephHeads. Yeah. This Sunday, it's the ultimate Stephanie Miller
Saturday.
Fan experience.
StephCon
11. This Sunday at the Fort Wayne Holiday Inn. Don't miss your chance to experience your inner mook. StephCon 11. Come join other Stephanie Miller collectors.
Hey, what you got there?
I got an autographed Franzia box.
Wow, I got a tape of all Steph's old TV shows, but it's on Betamax.
Hey, check it out. It's one of Max's fur balls.
Sweet. Hey, you want to come with me? Chris Lavoie's over there signing copies of his book, Mama Dearest.
Sure.
Don't miss StephCon 11 this Sunday at the Fort Wayne Holiday Inn. Featuring last year's keynote speaker, Jim Ward.
Just like to say, get a life, will you, Stephen? You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time.
I'm Mike in Raleigh.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Shane.
I'm Ken in Cleveland.
I'm Tom Hanks.
We'll see you at StephCon 11.
StephCon 11 is not associated with the Stephanie Miller Show or the Sexy Liberal Show and is not real.
I'm pretty sure I did Danielle and Shane's show last night, but I was really drunk.
Oh, no.
Because they always, it happens to be in the midst of my cocktail hour when they when they ask. But I'm pretty sure I did it, and I'm pretty sure it was spectacular.
Wow. Oh, okay. Dear.
Maybe I don't want to hear that tape. All right.
Another thing. You guys.
All right. All right. Occupy Wall Street organizers, by the way, have called for flash mobs, student strikes, rallies, and musicals. Musicals?
Yeah.
Marcus Bachman is on it.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I could be better than a thing. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Someone that looks really cute in hats? Carl Frisch, by the way, who is with us now for Right Wing World.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
That's a very tough question. I will have to think about it and talk to my advisor.
Okay.
If
you could have longer pauses, I think that would be more effective.
Where's the bottle of water I didn't ask for?
Yeah, we have that audio coming.
Who is that? Did I miss something already?
Yes, hold on.
Oh, dear.
Okay, here it is.
Okay, is this Herman Cain?
Herman Cain at that same Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
It's been reported that Iran is pushing its nuclear program. It might be close to developing a nuclear weapon.
Excuse me. Who brought me the water that I did not get?
What? Huh?
It's up in the hall.
What?
Who brought me the water I didn't get?
Seriously, at this point, I'm...
You know what?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like holding on to that bottle of water throughout the entire interview for dear life.
Like a water weenie. Like a flotation device of some sort in his rapidly sinking campaign.
It's his Wilson.
Yeah, I'm starting to actually be concerned. Is this some sort of brain-related thing? Because he's not making any sense, is he, Carl?
I think he might have had some, mad cow infected toppings on the pizza.
Toppings gone bad. Yeah. What did he say? We can't attack Iran because there's too many mountains.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, of course not. You don't want to attack Iran. I mean, with its mountains and stuff.
Yeah. Can't attack places with mountains.
We can't attack a place with mountains.
Mm, wow. Okay.
I cannot wait. You know what? I wish I had a copy of his briefing book just to read the different answers that they give him for different things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Germany has mountains.
You can't attack this country because they have water on one
There's
side.
There's water. Didn't you see the Kevin Costner movie?
Need a Navy for that.
Yeah.
All right. Carl, great piece on the Patriotic Millionaires. I love this. Two dozen wealthy members of the group Patriotic Millionaires, and God bless them.
Yep.
Their Patriotic Millionaires for Fiscal Strength are targeting members of the Deficit Supercommittee to increase their taxes, much like the Buffett rule, right?
Exactly. There were, two dozen of them on Capitol Hill yesterday. Meeting with, they have a press conference after a hearing with the Congressional Progressive Caucus about jobs, and then they took to the halls of Congress and had meetings with super committee members, leaders from both houses in both parties, Tea Party caucus members, and then they met with Grover Norquist too, and their message was very simple: tax us.
Yeah.
Tax us more.
Yeah, I love. Don't you love it? You know, as much as a Boner and the others blubber, but you can't do it. They're job creators. And most of them are like, "Yeah, no, it's fine. We got this. It's okay."
But you're the job creators.
So they should be taxed more.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's dive into the right wing world. See what's doing. Oh, Karl Rove, heavens! And I always thought he was so popular with a crowd in Baltimore.
Karl Rove is the architect. The architect of Occupy Iraq. The architect of Occupy Afghanistan.
Here's the deal.
Occupy America. Occupy everywhere.
We're
already in America.
Who gave you the right to occupy America?
Yeah. We are 99%. You're not.
If you want to keep jumping up and yelling, you're the 99%, how presumptuous and arrogant can you think you are?
Can you think you are?
Hello, grammar police for you.
Wow. That is a little thing who called gave, the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah. Who gave you the right to occupy America? They are American citizens.
Yeah, the Constitution. Yes. Right.
Yeah, well, you know, he spent a lot of time in the Bush administration trying to get rid of those people. So
yeah.
I think he was probably something was probably occupying his drawers at that moment.
You know, as awesome as that whole sound clip was, Carl, I don't know if you heard, my favorite part was the one Snoopy boo.
Yeah.
Somebody going, boo. Okay. Rush Limbaugh, here we go.
Now that these kids from Occupy Whatever have gotten used to urinating and defecating in the streets. When they go back home, are their parents going to have to housebreak them all the time? Teach them how to use the potties, the bathrooms? If you are a parent of a returning hero from Occupy Wall Street, you might want to put some newspaper down at strategic points inside the house.
You know how he can fix that is put out porta potties when they. If you want to prevent people pooping in the street.
What is Rush Limbaugh's excuse, by the way? Because you know nothing but a constant stream of bleep me now, please comes out of that guy's mouth.
Yeah. That's from the Repulsive Right Wing Comedy Tour, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. That's their that's comedy. Comedy.
Is that what that is?
Comedy. Okay.
So here's the thing: you might want to put paper down on the floor because they're used to.
You know, Carl, if you can't have a good joke, just make it long as possible.
Right.
That's what's good
Drag
about Rush.
Out.
Just keep pounding that nail in. You see, because there are like puppies, and then there's papers, and then also
I think the goal, though, I mean, you all do stand-up. I don't. I simply enjoy it. I think the goal of stand-up is to, when you're dying on stage, to prolong and protract that dying
absolutely.
On stage as long as humanly possible.
And the more you have to explain it, the funnier it is what I've found.
That's what I've heard,
Bill O'Reilly.
The failure of the Occupy Wall Street movement. The occupiers were not interested in legitimate issues so much. Many of them simply want to blow up the economic system. In addition, some of their behavior was and is reprehensible. So the Occupy Wall Street movement is dead. Finished as a legitimate political force in this country.
It's just starting.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, you just wait there, Billy. Well, you know, I mean,
how would he know if they're finished? I mean, has he gotten some private eyes to go and follow them and see if they're...
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the latest election results, Carl. I mean, first of all, you know, this pack of, you know, Republican candidates, this is Tea Party driven. This is what the Tea Party has wrought, you know, on the Republican Party. That's how they're doing. Look at how the elections are starting to turn, you know, and largely behind the We Are the 99% movement, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, but we were listening to Fox News, and they barely covered the election returns. So, you know.
Well, it's not news like unless it's favorable to Republicans.
They're like a state-run news channel, and you know, they have a vested interest in demeaning the 99%. But keep in mind, I mean, their audience is not the American people. Their audience is, you know, largely people that won't be with us for much longer.
All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecars. 18 minutes after the hour, Scotchmore Right-Wing World with Carl Frisch next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
You know, baby, I was thumbing through the dictionary, trying to find words to describe you.
Trying to find a gayer song than this.
Good luck.
You know what it is?
Oh, boy.
It's...
All right.
Stephanie Miller.
Girl.
All right. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Carl Frisch in the sidecar, whether he wants to be or not. For the rest
Sorry, let me put my glow sticks down.
For the rest of Right Wing World, Michelle Malkin on Hannity. Yeah.
These are the heirs, these are the spawn of the worst excesses of the ideological left. We're seeing all of the ugly, wretched, criminal manifestations of it. Brace yourselves for tomorrow. And I think that if this White House remains silent about everything that's going on, you can equate that silence with absolute complicity.
Wow.
She seems like a very unpleasant person to be around.
Speaking of complicity, would one say that an Asian American that supports the internment of Asian Americans during World War II, would somebody say that was complicity?
That's complicity.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting analogy. By the way, I hope she gets a job on Victoria Jackson's right-wing chick talk show that we were just talking about.
Politichicks.
That'd be pleasant. Victoria Jackson, Michelle Walken, who? Andrea Tantaros?
Dana Loesch. No.
Wow.
It's actually Victoria Jackson and three women I've never heard of.
None of your testicles are ever going to descend again, are they? Yeah. After I just... Even the spectrum
of
that.
Well, you know, it's a very bright show. I mean, from everything I can tell, they film it in front of a green screen, but don't actually use the green screen.
Right. It's just a green background.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're kind of missing the point.
And it looks like chairs, you know, those $45 chairs from IKEA.
Who's on it, seriously?
Right.
Oh.
Victoria Jackson and who? That's got to be.
There are people I've never heard of.
Oh, awesome. That's got to be awesome. All right, Steve.
It's like the five, although the gene pool's been watered down a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve Doocy and Gretchen Carlson on Occupy.
They have a constitutional right to protest and freedom of expression.
Huh?
They do not have the right to camp there.
About time is all I have to say.
Oh, well, then.
Wow. Yeah, they are so still frantic over this whole Occupy thing, right? That the actual ideas are going to live on, right?
Right. Well, I love that Fox News is so apt to cover this, but yet they think it's a non-story. The logic that this is their First Amendment right, they just can't camp there, is so ludicrous. I mean, nowhere in the Constitution does it say what types of speech are protected. The only kind of speech that isn't protected, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is the type that can lead to you know, some kind of dangerous mob type thing. And if anybody's doing that, that's, you know, the cops that are pepper spraying 85-year-old women.
Yeah.
There's nothing says you cannot camp somewhere for speech. I mean, in the 1930s, you know, we had riots in front of the Capitol over issues like this. And these are people expressing their fundamental right to speech, and it's sad.
Yeah. I think what cracks me up is that, you know, even though they sponsored an entire movement, the Tea Party, you know, polls are showing that, you know, it is largely, I mean, it's unpopular with Americans, whereas the Occupy movement is largely, those ideas are popular with Americans, no matter what Vox says, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody, you know, when those polls came out like a year, 2 years ago when the Tea Party was popular, and then all of a sudden they weren't popular anymore in the polls, it was a bunch of baloney. They were never popular.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, people had a, you know, sixth grade understanding of what the Tea Party was when they were first called about it and had never heard about the Tea Party.
Yeah.
And then they got to know the Tea Party and they're like, whoa, you mean Republicans?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, we don't like them.
Only crazier. Yeah. All right. Sarah Palin on Van Susteren.
This election isn't merely about replacing Barack Obama and the chip on the shoulder of our national leadership that Barack Obama brought to the White House with him. This election is about who and what we replace Obama with. A pro-private sector, pro-growth agenda that these GOP candidates thankfully all seem to have adopted. How their agenda is going to be ushered in, how it will be adopted and implemented, that can get us on the road to recovery based on what Obama has done to this country in the last 3 years.
Oh, God, do I miss that word salad. That is, wow. Again, Carl, it's just, you can use as many words as possible. It's always better. You need as many words as possible to defend this field.
It's going to take a lot of dressing.
I thought she'd, you know, she's been gone for so long, I thought she'd resign from her Fox News contract halfway through.
Obama
has a chip on his shoulder?
The chip on the shoulder.
No,
the chip on the shoulder and things like that.
The country
has
the
chip.
Because of
when you think Sarah Palin, you don't think about a woman who might have a chip on her shoulder.
No, not at all.
No, delightful. All right.
Media's out to get me. I can't serve as governor because people are out to get me. I mean, I'm surprised that, like, you know, one of her children is not named Chip on My Shoulder.
Yeah.
Given how creative the names are.
And she doesn't go on other media outlets because the other media outlets are out to get her.
Yeah.
Because they ask her questions.
Yeah, yes. They ask her real questions.
Yeah. All right. Well,
like, favorite magazine.
Yeah. What do you read?
Exactly. All right. Word salad for breakfast. Enjoy, Carl Frisch. We'll see you next week, honey. Thank you.
Have a good week.
All right, you too, honey. There he goes.
Bye.
Carl Frisch.
It's going to take a lot of dressing to drown out that word.
Yes.
Yeah, that was, wow. A lot
you need
of
more than ranch for that.
Gobbledygook.
Mm-hmm.
That was Herman Cain-esque in its incomprehensibility. 29 minutes after the hour.
Where's that bottle of water that I didn't get?
What? I gotta hit that again. All right. Next, we return to Bender, David Bender. No?
No.
What?
He's moved.
Oh, he moved to hour number 3.
Yes.
All right. We have Jesse Ventura coming up next hour and us. All right. Never mind. You know what? I'm having a brain event. Where's the water I didn't ask for? On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everything's more fun with
Stephanie Miller.
Die Bitte zur vorne geht!
Steffi.
What? That sounds like a Herman Cainism.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I was saying earlier, I think Mike McQuarrie is getting advice from Herman Cain on how to handle
it. Oh.
Did I say this yesterday or not? Because he's, you know, the thing. Released an email that he'd written to someone saying he did go to the police, and I said, isn't that fairly easily checked?
Yes, it is, turns out.
And it turns out that representatives of Penn State's campus police and State College police say they had no record of any report from Mike McQuarrie about his having witnessed an alleged rape of a boy by former coach Jerry Sandusky. That's what I was saying. It seemed a little weird. I just was like, so an email surfaces, and I'm going, isn't that fairly easily provable or not that there was a police report?
Yeah.
Or not? But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of stems from, you know, Penn State athletics and football in general, specifically, getting such a free pass from the media that they're not used to getting questions. So they think they can say anything and it will go away. But, you know, finally, there's some scrutiny coming down on Penn State football.
Yeah.
And they're not used
to it. He was on the phone with Herman Cain.
Yeah.
You don't have to have any facts to back it up. Just say it. Just deny it.
Yeah. They don't know how to deal with it.
Why do you hate football?
Oh, God.
You bastard people.
Yeah, send those emails directly to Chris.
Send them to me, because I'll take you on.
Right.
I'll take you on.
Mike McQuarrie and a CBS reporter yesterday.
This process has to play out. I just don't have anything else to say.
Okay. And then just one last thing. Just describe your emotions right now.
All over the place. Just kind of shaking.
Crazy?
Crazy.
And you said what? Like a
snow globe.
Like a snow globe.
So, and the other thing that is, what do you call it? Sandusky's attorney is flatly denying that this happened. So, I mean, this story
it's
just
him,
gets...
right? It's not me.
Yeah.
I know that. You think I don't know that?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I guess the question is the kid going to testify? I don't know how old he is now, right?
The mothers of some of the victims have come out and they're talking to the media, you know, under disguise and all of that. But, yeah, they're talking to the media saying the kids are, you know, completely ruined.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so I you see what happens? Did I just say that? I said this would Saturday Sexy Liberal Show will be probably Herman Cain of Palooza, because I said it's only Wednesday. And imagine how many more things he'll say before Saturday.
Yeah.
And look what happens. Already there's another. You don't even know which joke to open with anymore. It's one a day.
Yeah.
I thought Livia was the greatest hit. And then him saying, what did he say? Oh, to explain that yesterday finally? I don't have to know anything about foreign policy.
Oh, God. Wow.
What?
Why does the president have to know about foreign policy?
That was, yeah. First it was
he
was tired.
I'm not the president of foreign land. Why should I know anything about it?
I'm not the president of Uzbekistan.
I just know Switzerland has a lot of mountains, which is why we have not yet attacked them.
Oh,
I've got to hear this again, because I didn't realize you're saying it's a I hate hydrangeas moment.
It's a
more
complete
of a diva moment.
Yeah.
It seemed like a complete non sequitur to me.
He asked for water. He didn't receive his water, so he was being an ass
apparently.
And asking for the water again.
Yes, the CEO apparently is not used to, you know, people not responding to him barking commands, whether it's give me mm-hmm. a job or some water.
That's right.
Or I said no, hydrangeas. Here it is again.
It's been reported that Iran is pushing its nuclear program. It might be close to developing a nuclear weapon.
Excuse me. Who brought me the water that I did not get?
What?
Huh?
It's out in the hall.
It's out in the hall.
Who brought me the non sequitur, which I did not get?
Brought me the what? Well, maybe people could respond to your commands if they had any idea what you were asking for.
Yeah.
Who brought you the preposition that you, what? That the conjunctive verb that you,
yeah.
Huh?
Mm.
All right. Yeah, this was, this is awesome. So after his initial Libya flub,
mm-hmm.
first they blamed it on lack of sleep. Now he's fully embracing the mistake. Is he going to be like a case in how not to handle?
Yeah. He already is. He has been for the past couple weeks.
This is just, so we did another, and that may have been yet another mistake doing another interview. With the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he said, I'm not supposed to know anything about foreign policy. Just thought I'd throw that out.
Yes,
well, all right.
You are. That's half of your job.
What do I care if the moon is made of marzipan? Or if Mars is made of moonzipan? It don't matter.
And equally,
I don't even know that.
An equally disastrous candidate, Newt Gingrich, who normally defends him, he was like, well, frankly, in a dangerous world, you
frankly,
probably should know,
probably should know something. Frankly,
huh?
Frankly,
huh?
Frankly.
Yeah. So that's then he said. He said this is what he keeps going back to. He has his little safety things, his little his little blankies.
Mm-hmm.
And his is commanders on the ground. That he just think
commanders
that answers everything. Yeah.
But he is the commander in chief.
There are no commanders on the ground in Iran.
Yeah. I was just gonna
you
say
moron.
There aren't any commanders on the ground. He just acts like there's commanders,
the commanders
on the ground.
The commanders on the ground in Iran are Iranian.
And by the way, here's a little FYI, GTK. Maybe you checked it out. You're the commander in chief. You see, so you'd be in charge of the commanders on ground if, in fact, you were.
Right.
Yeah. He said, I'm not supposed to know anything about foreign policy. Okay, I want to talk to the commanders on the ground. I said, now! Why haven't they brought me any water?
Or hydrangeas.
Or chicks.
Why haven't the commanders on the ground brought me any new strange? What's going on? He said, I want to talk to the commanders on the ground because you run for president. People say you need to have an answer. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Wow.
That's not good decision making.
Huh?
Having
an answer is bad decision making.
Yes.
It implies
yes.
that you've actually made some kind of decision
uh-huh.
if you have an answer.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay. And that was just, was that like from the first half of the day? So from the second half of the
uh-huh.
day, it was this It's not. And that would be the only reason, apparently, not to attack Iran, because there's mountains. There wouldn't be any other reason why that would be unwise. Do we have that one? Is that go ahead.
Would you favor a military strike against Iran to stop that country from developing nuclear capability?
That's not a practical top-tier alternative. Here's why. If you look at the topography of Iran,
big word.
Where are you going to strike? It's very mountainous. That's what makes it very difficult.
I think what he's getting at is that a lot of the stuff is underground there. Their nuclear program.
Yes.
And be difficult to get at without bunker busters.
Yeah, but you can have a flat country that with all that stuff underground. Yeah,
right.
Think Progress with some fun facts on this. Pointing out that Defense Secretary Leon Panetta noted the other day the principal reason that an attack on Iran would be a bad idea is not because it's mountainous, much to most people's surprise.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
But because it won't achieve the objective of preventing Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons. In addition to that, a strike would all but end the reform movement in Iran, spark a wider regional war, and incentivize the regime to weaponize its nuclear program.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be the opposite of what you were trying to achieve, in addition to the mountains.
Also, there are mountains. But you remember when Netta was killed, the woman was shot. There'd be 100,000 Nettas if we attacked Iran.
Was he confusing with Afghanistan, which is mountainous and it's hard to get in caves Iran, there?
Who can tell what's twirling around in his head? Different countries, different talking points.
Well, Afghanistan was famous for being, tough to attack because of, the mountainous regions and stuff like that.
Maybe. I'm just saying. No, that's another one. Oh, no, that's it. That's what I'm... Wait a minute. No, hang on. I got to go back.
I'm just glad that Obama is visiting his ancestral homeland of Kenyanizistan.
But you know what? I don't want to give the man the benefit of the doubt. He's adult.
Yes. It is, as I've said many times, a race to the bottom of the
house.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Oh, boy. And looky here. Oh, Newt Gingrich is... What happened to the front runner? You know what? The front runners in the Republican field are becoming like the drummer in Spinal Tap. Another one down. All right, they're like the number two Al Qaeda guy. That's I don't know what happens. The
I don't
want to
be number two.
I'm number one on the front row.
Can I be number five?
Honor.
Yeah, number five moves up quickly though.
Yeah,
with all of the number twos getting blown up.
I say five. I said 50.
That's the only thing we're missing from this Republican field. Someone needs to spontaneously combust.
Yeah.
Literally at the next debate. Maybe Ron Paul, just his big cartoon suit is left. There's nothing. I don't know.
Or just there'll be Santorum all over the hall.
Dude. Clean up on aisle five. Someone clean up the Santorum. Ew.
Watch your step, it's slippery. wet floor.
Yeah, it's
piso mojado.
This is almost getting too easy. I don't. So Newt Gingrich found himself on the defensive yesterday over huge payments he received over the past decade from the mortgage giant Freddie Mac. He apparently doesn't have any idea how much he made. It's a $1.6 million, Newt. $1.6 million.
Yeah, we know how much you made.
Seems like that'd be easy to remember. Makes it sound like it was nothing. Yeah, it's kind of a lot of money. Gingrich said he didn't remember how much he was paid. A person familiar with the hiring said at least $1.6 million. Long unpopular, of course, among Republicans, federally backed Freddie Mac, because, it's a new, scary, big government.
Right.
Bad.
Right.
Republicans hate that.
Guys.
Yeah, Barney Frank should go to jail because of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
$1.6 million. Thanks, frankly.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. They become targets for criticism stemming from the housing crisis that helped drive the nation deep into recession and then hampered recovery. Gingrich himself criticized President Obama in 2008 for accepting contributions from executives from the two companies. What? This makes him look like a great big... It's so weird.
Right-wing hypocrites!
That's not since he criticized Bill Clinton. His extramarital... It's been such a... Oh, my gosh. He defended Freddie Mac's role in the housing finance and said every American should be interested in expanding housing opportunities.
Wow.
Wow. And Michelle Bachmann took him to task. She said it doesn't matter if it's $300,000 or $2 million. The point is the money that was taken by Newt was taken to influence Republicans in Congress to be in support of Freddie and Fannie.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. She's right.
You know what? She has been the most consistent person in this race.
Yeah.
How frightening
is
that?
Now, it's like, it's almost like, that wheel you spin when you're picking a pie or something. You know what I mean? Like
what?
you know, the when you're at the deli or whatever, when you spin the thing and the thing that looks bad at first, you're like, you know what, now that's come around again, maybe not.
Oh,
maybe
like,
she's not that crazy.
Like in the vending machine we have upstairs.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Right. It's just watches, anything. You know what I mean? There's spinny things that you
I haven't bought a pie at a deli ever. Ever, really.
I've become the John McCain of my own show. I'm going to sit on a pie in the back seat of the car soon.
Step on the apple pie on the seat.
Uh-oh!
Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
All right. My point is, you know what I'm saying? At first you think, I don't want that, and then there's nothing better, and it comes back around, and now you go, maybe Michelle Bachman is not so bad.
There's a vending machine upstairs where you scroll through the stuff, and it comes around again. You're like,
it's Michelle Bachman.
Right, and when you realize all your choices are awful, the first thing doesn't look so bad.
Okay, that apple doesn't look that bad.
It's a delicious piece of crazy.
Yeah.
That was like a Sarah Palin version of it. It was like I was just saying about Rush Limbaugh having to do really long. I had to explain that so long that it just lost its whole.
What deli do you go to that sells pies?
Some theoretical one. I don't know. Okay. At last Wednesday's
Bakeries Republican... usually sell pies.
Yes.
In last Wednesday's Republican presidential... Victor's Deli. Here, that's where I've been. Here in L.A. See? The wire is connected there for a minute.
You're in a pie store looking for bagels.
Takes me so long to get to a point. It's not like Rush Limbaugh's because I have two tacklers dragging me down in here. Perfectly good point, and you pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. Forcing me to stretch it out and seem like it's all right.
Sarah Palin style.
Also, too, in last week's
Vegetarian tripe?
Oh, you know what? I give up on this story.
Okay.
Fine. 47 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, we're late anyway.
Bastard people. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Minneapolis to protect me from the mooks. Hello, Dave.
Well, Mama, I'm not so sure I'm protecting you as to help you kind of realize your situation. You know, there's a theory in certain schools of psychology that individuals will recreate their home life within the context of their work. And maybe you need two big brothers to kind of abuse you, pick on you, so that you feel safe. Is that might be what it is?
So I can flash back to my Republican brother who tried to hang me. Yes.
Right.
It really is. It's the radio version of my brother, you know, pinning me down and dripping toothpaste into my face.
But did you? Ew. The thing is, these
well, he would suck it back up at the last minute.
Stand-up guy.
Yeah. It was like an early form of waterboarding with the toothpaste.
Well, maybe that's where they learned it. Your family taught him. I mean, he was a Republican after all.
Yeah, and he did hang me and he did dig a grave for me. You know what's ironic, Dave, is that my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and the fact that there were war crimes going on right under his nose in his own house that apparently escaped his attention entirely.
Right. We never suspect those that are closest to us,
that's
though.
Right.
We miss it all the time.
That's right.
Just like the nice neighbor burying people in his basement. We never suspect them.
Yeah. Thanks, Inspector Clouseau.
Seems like a regular fella.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Kind of catch himself.
Nice feller. All right. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's true. And it gets even worse when Hal or John are here. Then it's like, I'm Sister Mary Oliphant.
Yeah.
Then I have no control at all of my own fort. All right. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I can't risk losing my important computer files. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite automatically backs up your computer files whenever you are connected to the interwebs. It couldn't be easier. Go to Carbonite.com today. Type in my offer code Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
Yay.
Elizabeth in Chicago on Nudie. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. My thoughts
First, about the MOOCs making fun of you, it did sound like you were talking about, you know, spinning a game board piece to get pie. So it was kind of confusing at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I could see that.
Okay, you know what I mean, Elizabeth. It's that glass case.
I do now.
Yeah, we do now.
It was clear, and you did have to, you know, kind of... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if they would help me instead of impeding me at every turn.
No, we were just trying to get at the root of what you were trying to say.
I was working. I was really like, wow,
all
she
right.
goes to special pie places. Anyway,
yes, I do.
Newt Gingrich, I just want to point out that anyone who doesn't understand or recall making $1.5 million is pretty much the definition of the 1%.
Yes, apparently that was so minor.
I may have left $1.5 million in my other pants, frankly.
The yeah. pants you left at your other mistresses.
Sure. I'm not sure how much it was. Oh, look.
That's, yeah. All
right. How about went to Tiffany's? Okay.
Ah, there you go. Oh, thanks, Elizabeth. Yeah, he drops out of Tiffany's every other day.
It's underneath the couch cushions.
It's in my pants and I left at that other chick's.
And speaking of the 1% versus the 99%, apparently there are huge marches and protests going on in Manhattan
right now.
And not a single cable news channel is covered.
Yes,
I bet Al Jazeera is.
Yeah, we're scrolling through looking and nobody's covering
CNN was covering, you know, showbiz news. They didn't have a shot of these huge protests that are going
proving
on.
Proving the point of the protesters.
You know, I'm flying to New York today. You know what that means? I might get a free musical. I don't have to pay Broadway prices.
Yeah.
I can watch an Occupy musical right on the street. All right.
Ironically, the only one that was covering it locally in New York City, Fox 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is ironic.
Well,
that's to show what crazy hippies they are. Okay.
Yeah. All right. By the way, are they just trying everything but the kitchen sink on the Republican field? Now Newt Gingrich is going, yes, I am a Washington insider. Maybe that's a good thing, frankly. Maybe that's...
I know a great deal about Washington, and if you want to change Washington, we just tried 4 years of amateur ignorance, and it didn't work very well. Right. So having somebody who actually knows Washington might be a really good thing.
And
oh my God!
To squeeze all the money out of the big donors.
I'm a Washington insider.
Oh my God! Everyone's
insider.
Running as an outsider. Okay, I'm an insider. It's like, okay, try that now. Sure. How's that straw working? Grasp for another one.
Yeah.
Okay. And now he's explaining his Freddie and Fannie.
For strategic advice over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How'd that go?
Then. That's kind of being a lobbyist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like lobbying.
Yeah. Oh no, he says he didn't lobby them.
No, not at all.
Strategic advice, Margaret, for large bags of cash.
Yeah, with dollar signs on the
side. That's not lobbying. Why are you saying that's lobbying? I know you are. What am I?
I was Speaker of the House and a strategic advisor. Mm-hmm. I was approached to offer strategic advice. I was glad to offer strategic advice.
For in return for large sums of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah. Did I mention the bags of cash?
With dollar signs on the side.
A man with a monocle and a top hat brought it to my house. I took it.
And I stole a spats. Because that's the only thing that would fit. The hat wouldn't fit on my giant head. The tuxedo, obviously, lost cause.
See, that's not what he said back in October 2011.
If you want to put people in jail, I want to second what Michelle said. You ought to start with Barney Frank and Chris Dodd.
So
Barney Frank's case, go back and look at the lobbyist. He was close to Freddie Mac.
Interesting.
Maybe Newt should form an exploratory committee in prison.
There you go. How about that? Why don't you explore that idea? All right. And Michelle Bachmann, she's plucky.
I'm standing up for the little guy in the United States, and I believe that Fannie and Freddie need to be shut down. I wasn't shilling for them. I was fighting for them.
Fighting for them? Well,
against them. She meant against them.
Bless her heart.
No, bless her heart. Now I'm trying to help her.
Freudian slip much?
All right.
Wow.
Okay. And then when we come back, we have to look at this ridiculous Rick Perry ad.
Yeah.
They are just so desperate on the right. I mean, they will take anything the president says. And they've made an entire ad out of taking something out of context that he said. What's how unusual is that for Republicans? All right. All that, we have Governor Jesse Ventura. Yay for Jim.
Yay.
And also David Bender as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Use your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah. the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. Governor Jesse Ventura coming up this hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Gary writes, Steph, after listening to you whine about your flight back to L.A. from Austin, I had to write and say the 4,000 miles I traveled each way to see you was totally worth it. He came from Honolulu.
Oh, dear.
All right, sorry. Sorry for my bitching. My friends from Austin, who unfortunately don't have the opportunity to catch you on the radio, I'm sure are already new podcast subscribers. Isn't that something?
Mm.
Yeah, we used to have a station there. We don't because there's no market for that sort of
right.
thing. That's why we sold out in Austin everywhere. Okay, just saying. Not bitter. Not bitter. Okay. What? Bitter? Party of one. Your table's ready. Saturday, we will be at the Shays Performing Arts Center in Buffalo. Check it out. Very few tickets left for that. And you can check for all the upcoming Sexy Liberals. But Saturday, the big show. The hometown
there
show.
There is no place like home. There is no place like home.
Buffalo, your native daughter, Stephanie Miller, is coming home to upstate New York. And she's bringing her sexy liberal friends.
Homeward bound, I wish I was.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
On November 19th at Shays Performing Arts Center, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming home. And she's bringing her sexy siblings, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Whether you're coming from North Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, or anywhere else, just jump on the transit and come see Mama. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Shays Performing Arts Center on November 19th in Buffalo, New York. You can take the gal out of Buffalo, but you can't take Buffalo out of the gal.
Howie. Yeah, all right. And by the way, you know what's weird? Remember we used to have a station in Miami, too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And now we don't. And now they have a sports station that has a zero rating?
Zero rating.
We're already sold out there. In
Why
Buffalo,
do they hate
Lauderdale
capitalism?
On December 10th.
They hate capitalism.
Hmm. It's weird. Hmm. It's weird. All right, and then we just sell more podcasts. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And the right wing keeps trying to shut down Sexy Liberal, and we just keep selling out and giving money to Sexy Liberal causes. Ha, 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 ha.
Okay. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo, stick
yeah.
your head in doo-doo.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Facebook, of course.
The source of all evil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, yet another story. Facebook fight leads to neighbor's arrest. Except for Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Oh, where I think Von Seal is posting new pictures from Austin. We'll see if they're up yet.
Nude pictures? What?
New.
Oh,
new.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
All right. Police in Manchester, New Hampshire say some angry Facebook postings between two neighbors led to a confrontation and a burglary arrest.
Oh.
Police said a woman on the second floor apartment had been in an ongoing dispute with her third floor neighbor. You know, this is what happened. You can't just go up one floor to have a fight with someone. You got to go on Facebook now. You
yeah.
see what's happened.
Why get out of your chair to have a fight? You can just do it in front of
That's
your computer.
That's how lazy. The president is right. We're lazy. You can't go one floor to have a regular fight. You have to have a Facebook fight. Their Facebook posting apparently upset her neighbor's family, all of whom came over, like the sisters in The Fighter, that movie. They all showed up on the doorstep, banged on the door. There was a fisticuffs, you know.
Whatever.
Well, they're getting some exercise.
Exactly.
That's a good thing in that.
Exactly. All right. I kid the president because that's not what he said. You knew they were going to take this out of context.
That's
Mitt
right.
Romney has said it. Rick Perry did a whole ad. The president didn't say Americans are lazy. He didn't mean people. This is just so... this is the ad
mm-hmm.
with... yes. President Obama was being interviewed. He said, what the clip they use is, we've been a little lazy, I think, over the last couple of decades. That's a little out of context. Here's the actual story. He was speaking to a group of CEOs about the challenges of attracting foreign investment in the U.S., not about individuals or their economic challenges. He said, there are a lot of things that make foreign investors see the U.S. as a great opportunity, our stability, our openness, our innovative free market culture, but we've been a little lazy, I think, over the last couple of decades. We've kind of taken it for granted. Well, people will want to come here, and we aren't out there hungry selling America and trying to attract new business into America.
Oh, context is French and gay.
He meant our politics as a country, not
right.
individual American
oh,
people.
Oh, Americans are lazy. Well, Mr. Kenyon, you just stand.
Yeah. But, which, by the way, that's
Have
the whole
nice
theme.
Have a nice time at the madrasa.
That's the whole theme of the Republican side, right? You know,
yeah.
What's his name? Herman Cain saying, if you don't have a job, blame yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's their whole meme over there is
yep.
that people are lazy if they don't have a job. So it's like they've tried to turn this around and take something completely out of context the president said to make it sound like he was saying that. Here's Rick Perry's stupid ad.
We've been a little bit lazy, I think, over the last couple of decades.
Do you believe that?
Denim shirt. Sure.
That's what our president thinks wrong with America.
We're lazy.
That Americans are lazy? That's pathetic.
It's time to clean house in Washington.
Your campaign is
time for a balanced budget amendment that forces Washington to stop overspending.
No.
If Congress balks, cut their pay. Send them home.
Yeah, can't do that.
Obama's socialist policies are bankrupting America.
I wish we had socialist now.
I'm Rick Perry. I approve this message.
And I'm a douche nozzle. Okay. Thank you, Rick Perry. Okay, first of all, where do we even start? So,
I'm too lazy to finish a sentence.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. At least he thought of three things in a row there. Of course, he had time to rehearse. And how many retakes did that take? I'm almost at the third thing.
What's the other thing?
And the president's. The president's a socialist. That's the last thing. That's it. Thank you. Okay. So, by the way, this critique of Congress, blah, 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 first of all, Perry's president could not unilaterally enact a balanced budget amendment or cut lawmakers' pay, but nice try.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nice try making an ad about things that you're not even constitutionally or legally able to do. But good.
I'm going to
cut her pen and campaign, send them home. Get her done.
I'm going to repeal the law of gravity.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good job. Work on that. Okay. Thank you.
And physics. Mm. I never got physics, so I can repeal it. All the laws of physics. I think they're unconstitutional.
Well, Herman Cain knew about the geography. He knew enough about Iran to know that it was
mountainous. That's why we can't attack it, because they got mountains.
Wow. Race to the bottom of dumb.
That's why we have not attacked Colorado.
Exactly. Otherwise, hello, Denver, City by the Bay.
Yeah. We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
You know, that's like a joke on our show from Blades of Glory, but Herman Cain, he would say that.
Yeah.
You can't attack Denver because there's a bay there. I heard it on the Stephanie Miller show. All right. Speaking of Rick Perry, questions arise about Perry's business deals back home. Oh, dear. Oh, he just keeps stepping in it left and right.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's why I got several pairs of boots. Mm-hmm. I keep stepping in it.
The Texas Tribune takes a deeper dive on an issue that's cropped up repeatedly in the last 24 hours as Rick Perry has pushed his outsider message. Oh, I see. So he's the outsider. Newt Gingrich is running on. I'm an insider.
Yes.
You want? We don't want any all y'alls. No. Really,
frankly. You're an outsider when you get an insider.
Has pushed his outsider message to change federal government so members of Congress could face jail time for insider trading deals where they benefit from legislation the governor's own personal gain from policy ventures.
Oops.
Popping up. Now, some longtime observers of the Texas governor say his effort to portray himself as a reform-minded government outsider is inconsistent with his record, which they argue is peppered with instances in which his personal and political relationships became entangled in ways that helped him profit financially. Mm-hmm. The Texans for Public Justice said, despite Perry's comments this week, over the years the Texas governor has taken advantage of a number of insider deals himself, from getting a great bargain on real estate purchased from a friend and a fellow lawmaker in Horseshoe Bay to a seemingly too good to be true 1996 stock deal. I wonder if he'll have to execute himself, because in Texas they don't even bother with jail.
No.
So if you think it's never reconnaissance to go to jail, there's do not pass go in Texas.
That's right.
You just, you know.
If you're accused of something, guilty. Hang them high. Unless it's me, then it's different.
By the way, Julie in Seattle with an idea on who else needs to jump into the clown car, because it's just... Because what's happening? They're imploding, and then they lose their entertainment value. There's a fresh batch of comedy, and then...
Yeah.
They implode.
Kablamo.
Here's an idea. Oily Taint. She's...
Oh.
Oily Taint. You know, dentist lawyer.
Let me finish.
Why won't you let her finish her race? She is apparently going. She's talking about challenging Dianne Feinstein,
that's
Senator
right.
Feinstein out here in California. Despite that, oddly enough, according to polling, Dianne Feinstein's seat looks fairly safe.
Yeah.
How sad is this for the Republican Party? The only well-known Republican challenging Feinstein is prominent birther Orly Tate. Is this all you got? Seriously? She's the crazy... I'm sorry, gynecologist dentist. She's a dentist lawyer.
Isn't she a realtor, too? I think she is a realtor.
Supposedly has a black belt in Taekwondo, which is frightening that they've let somebody that crazy...
Yeah. She sadly trails Feinstein in a hypothetical contest by 56% to 29%. That's... Last year's GOP Senate nominee, Carly Fiorina, trails Feinstein by 20 points at 56-36. That's their other fresh idea, I guess, she's so over and she hasn't even started yet, Carly Fiorina. Wasn't that what she said? Something. There you go.
So yesterday.
She is. According to the polling, she's way yesterday.
Yep.
All right. I just want to see the debate. I want oily taint in the debate with Diane Feinstein. Let me finish.
Oh, that'd be
just
great.
Let me finish. Why can't I finish a point?
You are finished.
Yeah.
Most Republicans, they're finished before they get started these days. I don't know what is happening. All right. So we've been watching a lot of stuff going on in New York.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mama's going today after the show. But yeah, there is a, you know what, I love that almost every soundbite in right-wing world, they declared the Occupy movement dead.
Dead.
I guess that's Dawn of the Dead then. Dawn of the Occupy Dead going on in New York today. But, you know, this is like, who thinks this is, Seattle police pepper spray 84-year-old activist, a priest, and a pregnant woman, among others.
Yeah, great.
Occupy Seattle while demonstrating in solidarity with the besieged protesters in New York City faced a volley of indiscriminate police pepper spray last night as protesters neared a busy street. Police suddenly hit a large number of protesters, including an 84-year-old woman, a pregnant woman, a priest, several teenagers with mace. I mean, how is that not an overreaction? You know, there's going to be a backlash against the other backlash now, is what I'm predicting. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, much more to come. Governor Jesse Ventura. Ooh, it's almost. Isn't it that time of year we always have Governor Ventura on to talk to Jim about all things JFK related?
Yeah, it is.
Cool.
All right. That and much more. We'll talk to him about the Republican field as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Werewolves of London.
I get it. Because I look like a small Armenian wolf child in high school.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'm going back to my hometown.
Sweet home Buffalo. Alabama.
Yeah. No, same chord progression.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet home Alabama. Oh, okay, yeah.
Sweet home Lockport.
I'm going to my Wolf Cub roots. Tickets going fast at Shays. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets. Okay, thank you. I had fangs. I had gray fangs.
You did?
Yeah, they were yanked.
Yeah.
They were yanked out.
You were also a hairy child.
Mm-hmm. Unibrow.
Were you shot with a silver bullet? Is that what fixed it?
Exactly. So they got them. You know, my mom tweezed, as I recall.
Oh, that's right. She left bloody holes.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh, she did. Uh-huh. All right.
How did you survive?
Not much of a gentle touch as a cosmetologist.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I just remember her under her breath going, don't stop bleeding. Oh, stop dear. Bleeding. I was like, what? Oh. What's happening up there, Mom? What? Because that was a job. You got to say, you know, she did a weed whacker for that. That was really something.
Okay. Is your family hairy or is it just you?
I think it was just me.
Really?
Because I was abandoned by wolves and then raised
That's
by Republicans.
So weird.
So I don't really come from the same genetic, lineage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. where am I? All right. Oh, by the by, I thought this was interesting. What with Occupy still raging in New York. More than half of all congressional members are millionaires. Voices of the 99% movement are being heard in Washington. They're being heard by the predominantly 1%, though.
Yep.
47% of Congress, or 249 current members, are millionaires. 66% of the U.S. Senate reported an average net worth in excess of $1 million.
They should give up their fancy salaries that we're paying
for. Yeah. But that's the one thing I have to say, not to sound like a partisan hack. But, you know, you have to give the Democrats credit. They're the ones fighting for, you know, against their own self-interest in that case. They're the ones largely, you know, fighting for the 99%, and they're going to pay more taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least, you know. Okay, exactly. Meanwhile, the House Republicans, what are they working on? Classifying pizza as a vegetable.
Can you believe
to
that?
To prevent overly burdensome school lunch regulations.
Brunch?
Well,
I wonder if any of my lunch ladies from high school are going to be at the show Saturday night.
That's only if the pizza is covered with gay vegetables. Mm. Not a manly pizza. With
I always thought they hired lunch ladies that looked like that to make the food look better. What do you think? Because it was, you'd be like, wow, that pizza looks, okay, that doesn't look so bad.
At my school, I think it was the office secretary and the art teacher.
Oof.
Well, I mean, I went to a small school.
Sure. I just remember the pizza at the cafeteria was just like this slab of
dough. It was a rectangular slab
of grease
dough.
On it.
Yeah.
Just a big pile of grease.
Yep.
But this is this crazy, like, oh, nanny state, blah, blah, blah. As we've said many times on this show, I mean, childhood obesity is an enormous problem, mm-hmm. not just health-wise, but financially in this country. So earlier this year, the USDA made an attempt to bolster the nutrition guidelines for the federal lunch school lunch program. Under the new guidelines, for instance, school lunches would be limited to 1 cup of starchy vegetables a week, and the ability of schools to count tomato sauce on pizzas toward their fruit and vegetable requirements would be scaled back. But House Republicans, it's not like they're not doing any important stuff for you. In a new spending plan unveiled, have done away with those changes. The spending bill would allow tomato paste on pizzas to be counted as a vegetable as it is now. The department's proposed guidelines would have attempted to prevent that.
Well, Reagan said that ketchup is a vegetable.
Uh-huh. Some conservatives in Congress have called the push for healthier foods an overreach, saying the government shouldn't be telling children what to eat. It's not telling kids what to eat. It's making some effort to offer
giving
healthier
options. Yes. It's giving them choices.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
According to a bill summary released by Republicans, these provisions were meant to, quote, prevent overly burdensome and costly regulations. What they'll actually do is ensure that a steady flow of dollars continues towards certain favored food manufacturers at the expense of children's health. That's what this is about, as always, money. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, they get money from certain food companies and, you know, protect their interests and not your kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What, by the way, I say your kids, because I don't have any. But I'm looking out for you.
Oh,
because someone's got to think of the children.
Yeah.
I think of the children, A, by not having them.
Oh, somebody please think of the children!
I can't imagine
and
you
B,
as a mother.
By trying to make sure that you're not all fat bastards. You see what I'm doing here? I'm trying to help. I'm keeping myself out of the gene pool.
Mom, stop playing with the dogs. I haven't eaten in a week.
She throws a can of tuna fish at them. Here.
Boink.
I don't know where the I don't know where the opener is.
You figure it out. I've got a mercury headache.
Mama's thirsty.
Go ahead and get Mama some wine.
Oh,
make yourself useful.
It's the one thing that sometimes makes me rethink. I'm going to go get wine. Okay. Cheap labor. Hey, you know what I just realized yesterday?
What?
Which is really, kind of shocking news for me. As I realize some of the people probably that I'm going to see my high school friends.
Yep.
Their kids are probably about as old as my girlfriend. So that's going to be
awkward.
Awkward. Okay. All right. Dick Durbin still feeling super about the super committee?
This is our chance to step up and make a difference. This is our moment. Let's seize that moment. And working together, let's succeed for the good of this nation.
Yeah.
God bless his optimism.
Gutting everything.
I'm telling you, we got to throw the bums out. We got to get some Elizabeth Warrens in. We got to get me my Alan Grayson back in. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Governor Jesse Ventura next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You don't look like the kind of guy who does this.
Well, my wife thinks...
Stephanie Miller.
It's too crazy for me, but I'm going to prove her wrong.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, a lot of stuff. I'm flying today.
Yep, you are.
So, dealing with the TSA, number one, and with all the Republican crazy candidates. So, who better to talk to than Governor Jesse Ventura, our good friend. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. A lot of stuff going on. We're actually watching on TV right now. I'm heading to New York today, but all this Occupy stuff going on still in New York. What's your take on the Occupy movement?
Well, I've been down to the Minneapolis Occupy movement at least a half a dozen times myself to show support for people who want to exercise their First Amendment to the Constitution rights of their Bill of Rights. And that's what they're doing, and they have every right to do so, and they should be supported in that fact.
Well, you know, Governor, when you watch Fox News on the right wing, it's like we've never had any history of protest in this country. Like they're unfamiliar with the civil rights and the Vietnam War protests and all of that, right?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's a case today where you really and truly you don't have a Bill of Rights. My court case that I just went through proves it. The Bill of Rights does not exist. At least let me state this, Stephanie, and people need to understand this. When you go to an airport today, any airport in the United States of America, you must understand you are not protected by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. In other words, they can do anything they want to you in that airport. You have nowhere you can go to get redress. You have nowhere you can go to a court to file charges or do anything because the judge ruled, a federal judge ruled she did not have jurisdiction when I filed a lawsuit under my Fourth Amendment to the rights of reasonable search and seizure.
Governor, for people that have just tuned in or don't know about your case against the TSA, tell us what happened to you and why you decided to go ahead and just update us.
First of all, let me say this. I'm not getting any mainstream media attention over this case. They don't want to deal with it either. Mm-hmm. They want it swept under the rug. What it deals with is simply this. I have metal in my body. So when I go through the metal detector, I could go through naked. And it's going to go off, so then I'm subjected to either the microwave oven or I'm subjected to a sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to sue under the American Disabilities Act because I'm technically disabled.
Right.
And you can't. Did you know the American Disabilities Act does not apply to the federal government? It only applies to all of us in the private sector.
Oh, wow. Well, and you obviously got those injuries serving your country.
Well, I don't know. It went through a series. Pro wrestling did it, too. You know, I had my hip redone, and I have carbon titanium steel in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is this. Under the American Disabilities Act, they're supposed to accommodate your disability. My disability is being exploited. Mm-hmm. So I then sued under the Fourth Amendment, reasonable search and seizure. It is not reasonable to believe that Governor Jesse Ventura, an honorably discharged Navy veteran, a mayor, a governor who's been flying over 30 years, poses a threat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the old boy, Jim. Help me. I'm blanking on the those who give up freedom in the name of security deserve neither.
That's Benjamin Franklin.
Right. Yep.
Benjamin Franklin stated, "Those who will give up their liberty for security deserve and shall have neither."
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at now.
Well,
we seem willing to give up all our freedoms to have government tell us they're going to make us safe.
And it's all because of 9/11.
And the point
T-neck.
Being is this, that's an oxymoron, because you cannot be free and be taken and be protected.
You know, and I admit...
The only way the government can protect you is to put you under martial law.
And, Governor, I got to say, there is a certain amount of groupthink, because, I travel a lot now for my comedy tour, and, you just accept it. You know, I was actually bitching to my girlfriend, though, because, all the stuff you have to take off, I'm like, I hate you, shoe bomber, I hate you, underwear bomber. But you think of it more as a hassle than you do realizing, like you say, that it's also your rights you're giving up.
Let me read to you from my attorney. Her order dismissing our case for lack of jurisdiction reads much like the government's brief and does not directly address the gist of our argument regarding the constitutional absurdity of having been subjected to a secret order that can be changed in secret at any time and without notice and cannot be challenged in a district court.
Wow.
In other words, what the TSA operates under is considered secret because of national security, so you and I, as citizens, have no knowledge of whether we're even being abused or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we aren't allowed to see the rules.
In other words, Z-Kyle.
Exactly. And let's remember something, all you liberals out there. This is happening under Barack Obama and Attorney General Holder,
yep.
who are Democrats. This is, people need to wake up. Democrats and Republicans are alike.
Well, but Governor, the problem
is... What do you think these people are protesting for out on the streets? It's because of the buying off of both the Democratic and Republican Party by Wall Street.
Right, but Governor, don't you think
there's
more to it than that? In the, I think the American people largely want to feel secure. They all, I've heard, I can't tell you how many people in airports say it's a hassle, but I don't mind because I want to feel safe, on a flight.
Really? And so they feel safe. They think that they're safe, huh? Well, let me tell you something. Having been a Navy SEAL, I can tell you right now, I was trained that you think like the enemy. And I'm going to tell you what I would do. If I were a suicide bomber and was so inclined, I would go to the airport and wait in line, because waiting in line to clear security is where the biggest mass
sure.
of unguarded people are.
Absolutely.
Because until you clear security, you're in a mass of 300 people waiting to get in.
That's where you set off a bomb.
That's where you set off
Oy.
The bomb.
Right.
Oi, oi, oi.
I mean, come on. Let's talk reality.
Why did I have to have you on today when I'm traveling?
And, of course, we're nearing the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of Kennedy's assassination. And, you know, when I think of Obama and just how little power he actually has, Kennedy took on big oil, big steel, the military-industrial complex, the Joint Chiefs, the CIA, and the Federal Reserve. You know,
and he was killed for it.
You're right. And that was it was clearly a professional hit with triangulation of fire. That army unit that's meant to assist the Secret Service in those cases, a motorcade, was left, you know, Oswald couldn't have made that happen. It was only somebody very powerful who could have made them stand down.
Well, you know, but and that started it all, you know,
right.
Because like I've always told people, if you can murder the president and get away with it, what can't you do?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's that simple.
By the way, I got to ask you something, Governor. You saw this guy that shot at the White House yesterday. I was sort of curious. That's amazing to me that that's able to happen. I mean, you know, obviously there's protective glass, but it hit the window of the living quarters. The president wasn't there, obviously, but
yeah. Well, I don't know. I've been to the White House. I've spent the night at the White House. I didn't even pay under Bill Clinton. I'll give you the example. At that time, President Clinton and I, we were both cigar smokers, and we weren't even allowed to go have a cigar out on the deck because that would put the president in a vulnerable position from anywhere around.
Yeah.
So, you know, we and subsequently, the White House is a smoke-free building, so you're not even, he can't even have a cigar there because he can't go outside and he can't do it inside.
Even with a Navy SEAL. Unbelievable. tell me about your thoughts on this Republican field, because I'm a comedian and it's great for me. How is it?
I just look at it and truthfully, I don't pay attention because until this country wakes up to the fact that Democrats and Republicans are not the answer, they're the problem. They try to deflect it, but they and you notice I lump them together.
Yeah.
They have been in charge for over 100 years. So all the mess that we're in, they're directly responsible for. So until people quit voting Democrat and Republican, you're going to continue to get government as it is. I'll give you an example.
See, I'm not with you on that. I'm just not.
Runs on change. I can't tell the difference between him and George Bush.
Who?
Obama and Bush.
Oh, okay. Well, we part company on that.
Wait a minute. Obama's now raiding medical marijuana in California.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Governor, I've heard you say this a lot about, you know, the parties. How are you going to do that? I mean, do you think that's really, that's going to happen tomorrow?
Stephanie, it's as simple as the nose on your face, but it's as difficult as climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is getting people, the lemmings out there, the people that are drinking this fluoride water. Did you know that fluoride is 90% of what Prozac is?
Wow. Well,
when you drink fluoridated water, you're drinking liquid Prozac.
And it's,
well, what does that do? It dumbs you down. So we got a public that's so dumbed down, I guess, from drinking Prozac water that they can't imagine voting for anyone but a Democrat or Republican.
Well, the Republican field is remarkably well hydrated then. I'm sorry. To me, you can't say there's not a difference between any of them and President Obama.
The difference is there won't be a difference.
Yeah, well,
that's the point. If Obama gets reelected, what changes? Nothing.
Well, I think what changes is if people get out and vote and we put more, Elizabeth Warrens and Alan Graysons in and get the president what he needs, I do think there's a difference.
No, I disagree. I got a better idea. Stop voting for Democrats and let's take our country back from the two political parties like John Adams warned us of. John Adams said the fall of America would not come from a force outside. It would come from within. And he said specifically it would be when political parties take over the government. Well, they've taken over. So,
I think the problem is money.
How can we take it back?
The solution is not the Democrats. Are you kidding me?
Well, I disagree.
And I'll disagree with you.
All right. Well, fine. I'm with you on not having to take my shoes off at the airport.
Like my friend Charles Barkley said once. Charles Charles Barkley said he couldn't understand why poor people vote for Democrats. He said they've been voting for Democrats for 75 years and they're still poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, except that the Republicans are...
There's no difference.
But there is a difference, Governor.
No, the
Republicans are exclusively the party of the 1%. This whole Occupy movement, we are the 99%. At least
Democrats
are fighting for some of those principles.
99%. Don't try to hijack this movement and make it that the Democrats...
But those are the same policies they're fighting for. Dodd-Frank is fighting for some of the... That at least was an attempt to do what a lot of these people are talking about in the Occupy movements.
What these people are talking about in the Occupy movement is Wall Street buying our politics.
Yeah, and who's trying to deregulate Wall Street? Republicans.
Wait a minute. And whom did Barack Obama take the largest contribution
Well, that's
from?
Money in politics. That's not specifically Barack Obama's fault. I agree with you on that.
Right. That's the problem that I think Governor Ventura is trying to get at.
I get it. Money in politics.
Money.
I got it.
The point is the Democrats are just as dirty. The Democrats created the same game. The Democrats flourish under the same corrupted rules of bribery.
Well, I agree. The problem is money in politics. But
Republicans have created is a system based upon panhandling and bribery.
You know, I saw him with you when I can keep my shoes on at the airport, and then you lose me on. But
well, no, it's called let's get an independent, let's do a true revolution in this country, and that isn't going back to the Democratic Party.
But how do you do that? Every time someone has tried to come up as an independent against the two parties, it's failed miserably.
It hasn't failed miserably. It's failed only because the people have failed.
Yep.
The people are lemmings. They think their only choice is Democrat and Republican, and as long as they continue with that mindset, it's like what happened in Minnesota. Let me give an example. We ran another independent governor this last election. He was endorsed by me, former Republican Governor Arne Carlson, former Republican Governor Al Quie, former Republican Senator Dave Durenberger, both newspapers, and he got 12% of the vote. Because the rest of the lemmings vote Democrat and Republican. They don't know any different. And until they do, like I laughingly tell Minnesotans, hey, you voted for this. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
You're the ones that put these bozos in office. And by the way, the new governor's a Democrat. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is I think, you know, I'm for working within the system because I'm saying that the reason I'm a Democrat is because they fight for the things I believe in. And if we had more true progressives in, we'd get more of what we want. That's my take on it. I understand yours. But
you'd get more socialism.
Yes, good. All right, Governor Jesse Ventura.
I don't think we need more socialism.
All right, I kid. We're out of time, but the book is 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. You've got True TV's Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, and always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Gov.
Thanks, Stephanie, and thanks for letting me talk, because mainstream media and all them big shots won't talk to me constitutional issue, so I appreciate it.
I'm not afraid of you, you big Navy SEAL.
All right, bye-bye.
Bring it. All right, bye, Governor. Always a spirited debate.
Yeah,
right.
You know what? The chat room is saying, why is he on? I love having Jesse Ventura on. It's such a great conversation.
Yep. Yeah. 49 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm gonna tell everyone to lighten up.
Haha, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 54 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Dave in Buffalo, Mom's hometown. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Steffi.
Hi.
One of the things that I think we need to keep in mind is that, I mean, this sounds esoteric, but you need to let go of your fear. When there's dangers from every direction, you know, you step into the street and you get hit by a city bus. So you got to live every moment as though, you know, it's your last day here.
Ah.
And then, I mean, Jim, I know Jim understands what I'm saying.
Yep.
That when you you become a complete person, a fuller person, and you can begin to move toward, you know, a better future. But, you know, we're being controlled.
Well, that's easy to say, but when I was in massive turbulence on the way back from Austin, that really wasn't the day that I wanted to die. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's I get it,
well,
theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I know, but of course, then you'd have to cancel the show here in Buffalo, and that would be a drag. But
yeah,
can I recommend a book for Jim?
Yes, Jim. Oh, Jim has a giant sandwich in his mouth now. But go ahead.
Okay, it's called JFK and the Unspeakable.
Mm-hmm. I have that.
Isn't it
of course
great?
You do.
I'm just finishing that up.
Yeah, he has an entire library. It's like a young Frankenstein. You put the candle back, and the bookcase goes around. It's all JFK.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
And it's like a whole other wing of your house, right? It's like the JFK wing. Let's go to that's why he was wrestling me for the Chris Matthews book yesterday. John in Buffalo. Hello, John.
In Williamsville, remember?
Williamsville!
Amherst, oh, God, it's Jan and Amherst.
Well, Williamsville.
Williamsville. Hi, John.
Hi. Hey, listen, I'm still trying to figure out how many tickets I'm going to. Uh-huh. I'd love to take my wife.
Sure.
But she's very agnostic about politics, so she doesn't understand. Yeah, I'm the guy on the Stephanie Miller Show who's erroneously portrayed as a racist. And, you know, I just didn't want to have to get into it with her. So
she'll love it. Trust me, there's a lot of mixed couples that come to the show, and the spouse that was dragged there loves it.
Right, and it's not all about politics either.
No, it's just good fun.
Oh, I know. I'm trying to figure that. You can have an impromptu kind of but what I'm also going to be doing is I'm going to be bringing Sam and John Pontillo.
Oh, you are not.
Yes, I am.
You bring the pizza guys? My own personal. Can I show you on the pizza guy where he touched me?
I got all the skeletons.
You need a picture with them, Stephanie.
Oh, that's going to be great.
You need a picture with the Pontillo brothers.
All right. Show me on the doll where the pizza man touched you. See?
I'm sure it was all over the doll.
We all have a sexual harassment pizza man story.
I'm sure it was all over the doll.
Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. Hi, Buddy. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. In this corner at 6'4", 260 pounds, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah.
In the other corner at 5'7", and 95 pounds, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
Hey, Mama.
By the way, some people would think serving his country meant the wrestling part. But
well, yeah.
That's how he got the medal in his body. Go ahead, Buddy.
Hey, Mama, one thing is really disturbing me is, now, you talk about going to the airport and being searched, and that's under the Department of Homeland Security, which ostensibly was formed to fight terrorism.
Right.
Now they're being used to stop the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Uh-huh.
Explain to me on how people using the First Amendment rights are terrorists and have to be treated as such.
Right, right.
I mean, I find that appalling.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, particularly when we have the first black president, and obviously if we didn't have a civil rights movement, we wouldn't have that. So, I agree with you on that, what happened to our right to assemble and to free speech?
That's 9/11 happened to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Buddy, sorry, out of time there. Heartbreak, 58 minutes after the hour. Lots of folks have some thoughts on what Governor Ventura had to say.
Good.
We will talk about that and much more. And the Bendy.
Bendy.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. All right, I know, lots of thoughts on what Governor Ventura had to say. We will get to those in a moment at 1-800-STEP-12. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com. Check it out, coming home to Buffalo this Saturday, everybody. Oh, great piece today. Did we post this? Where is this in Buffalo? Art Voice.
Yes, it's posted up on your Facebook page and everywhere else.
Yes, let's see, dubbed the Sexy Liberal Tour. It's been selling out houses from Seattle to Chicago to Boston. Not bad for a girl from Lockport who got a career doing funny voices for Sandy Beach. Which I may call into my old friend Sandy Beach's show tomorrow if I can.
Oh, wow.
That's when I first started Katharine Hepburn in Traffic Talker.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we're standing. I'll just do it for old time. It's going to be a long ride on the second deck. What up? Yeah, they've missed that in Buffalo.
I wonder if he'll ask for that when you call in.
I'm sure.
Yes, I'm sure. All right. By the way, Catherine,
who?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, all my impressions. Linda Blair is still alive. I could do Linda.
That's your one.
If I were calling in the summer, I could still. It's hot as hell, Sandy. It's going to be hot as hell today. Okay. All right. So, yeah, and I believe it's looking close to sell out, so get your tickets fast, sexyliberal.com, and for all the other upcoming shows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wow, looky here. I got another unsolicited testimonial. This is from Susan about SodaStream.
Oh?
Yes. Steph, you're pretty much right about everything. Shut up, Chris. Thank you, Susan. Including the awesome SodaStream, as a devotee of your show from the beginning, I've also embraced a life of general debauchery and drunkenness. Good girl. Get it. As an obvious path to enlightenment, ergo, I go through enormous quantities of diet tonic, which, as it turns out, is the most excellent partner to gin. Who knew?
Well, not the diet part. Regular tonic is a great accompaniment to gin, but not
diet. It's got a metallic kind of that.
Yeah.
After a bit of mandatory hemming and hawing as a state employee now living on a sadly diminished household income, Scott Walker, your days are numbered, buddy.
Yeah.
I finally bit the bullet this weekend, took a fistful of coupons to a local chain and purchased the mighty SodaStream. Gotta say the diet tonic is excellent, and I get to press the little button and make instant fizziness. And I'm not continuing to fill our oceans with plastic. I'm happy. Thank you, goddess of the airwaves. Hick. Gin. Who knew? It does make yummy mixed drinks. All right.
SodaStream, now with gin.
No, you have to buy your own gin separately.
Yeah,
it doesn't come with it.
Yes, but it does make yummy tonic water.
Okay. Oh, Gawker has as you know, the greatness of the grape, my drug of choice. Gawker has a piece, Only Smart Kids Do Drugs. A new study indicates that young children with high IQs are significantly more likely to have done illegal drugs later in life.
Oh.
The authors point to previous research showing that highly intelligent people are open to experiences and keen on novelty and stimulation. Other research has also shown that brainy children often easily bored suffer at the hands of their peers for being different, either of which could conceivably increase vulnerability to using drugs as an avoidant coping strategy. Gawker is saying, yes, indeed, it is possible that stupid children, constantly dealing with their own confusion about the world around them, are rarely bored enough to smoke weed. And yes, it's true that many smart children are bullied because they're huge nerds and at some point might turn to drugs to deal with being total lame stains. But maybe it's that smart kids are quicker to recognize the hollow futility of existence and turn to narcotics to cope with the all-encompassing nihilism that is the inevitable product of real intelligence.
Hmm.
Kind of a buzzkill, Gawker, but
yeah,
perhaps.
Okay. I think they might have a point there.
Mm-hmm. Jean-Paul Sartre. I don't know. All right. So lots of folks want to talk about what Jesse Ventura said. Dennis in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dennis.
Kid.
Hello.
Hi. I'd like to just comment about one thing he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Minnesota elected a Democratic governor and nothing changed. And what I'd like to say is that they avoided the same thing that happened in Ohio and Wisconsin by electing a Democratic governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. No, I mean, you can't, you know, that's the thing, Dennis. You can't look at all these Republican governors and tell me there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. It's just not true.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Dan in St. Paul on the same subject. Hi, Dan.
Hey, sure. Let the guy in California take the guy in St. Paul spot on complaining about Jesse first. Thanks, Steph.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
Oh, you know, the thing, Jesse just infuriates me. I mean, his whole, you know, there's no difference crap. I mean, come on, if we had gotten Tom Emmer instead of Mark Dayton, we'd be West Wisconsin.
Right. You can't say there's no difference between Paul Wellstone, you know, and, you know.
And Norm Coleman.
Yes.
And Norm Coleman and Al Franken. I mean, Jesse slashed funding to college education. I mean, Dayton has done nothing but support education, support gay marriage, support a woman's right to choose.
Yeah.
Jesse ran on Jesse's issues, which were he wanted lower emissions for his car so he didn't have to pay to get it, or elimination of emission testing for cars so he could get it, you know, drive it without getting it tested. He wanted ape hangers, no helmets for motorcycles. These are the things that Jesse wanted, and he got them, and he was done. He was, you know, it was a nightmare for him.
Oops, that was a coincidence.
Yeah.
Conspiracy? I think so. Huh. Former Navy SEAL might know how to make that phone call cut out. Just I'm just messing with you. Brian and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bri.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I think in the case of Jesse Ventura, perception is basically shaped by the people you hang around with. If you look at all the people who endorsed his candidate, they were all Republicans, his independent candidate. They were all Republicans.
Yeah.
And what is this thing
well,
about?
Generally, to me, when people say independent, they're a Republican or a former Republican.
Republicans who smoke dope.
Yep, Republicans who smoke spot. Yeah.
In the Dem that he's talking about, he's talking about, oh, a Democrat is running Minnesota. Minnesota's unemployment rate is at 6.7%. And if I'm not mistaken, don't they have like a state bank?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, since I thought we were going to be talking about conspiracy sausages this morning, this is direct bet, Jim. Hey, Jim, did you hear about that China's trying to build a HARP?
Well, wouldn't surprise me. I would imagine they have one already.
Yeah, and I heard that one is in Australia. So maybe that's why Obama's putting troops there.
I don't know. I would ask Herb Cain. Sarah Palin said he should know.
Yeah.
He's up on his
well,
China.
William Cohen talked about this in 1998, I think it was. A national security document. I can't remember exactly the title of it, but he talked about how. In the context of talking about people using viruses as weapons, he said that they can now use weather and earthquakes as weapons, too. And that's a direct result of HARP.
Zoinks. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, Stephanie Mooks. I just wanted to comment about Jesse Ventura again. You did a great job handling him, but Chris says it's great having him on, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Jettison him. He's a John Bircher. I mean, his independent in Minnesota, that guy was right of the Tea Party, and he's talking about fluoride and stuff. That comes right out of the John Bircher
well,
Society.
Well, no.
I mean,
no, that's different. The John Bircher Society talked about fluoride as a communist plot.
Right.
The problem of fluoride is that it's a byproduct of aluminum production, and if you're taking fluoride into your brain, then aluminum... binds with that in your brain and can lead to Alzheimer's. It's not that it's some giant plot. It's that it's just not good for you. So some countries have stopped fluoridating their water.
Yeah.
Well, it comes a communist plot.
So you would rather us talk to the word socialism?
I mean, that's a reaction.
So you would rather us talk to only people that we agree with?
Not completely, but when you say, oh, he's great to have on, he's like a Ron Paul. It's like, yeah, he's got a chestnut here.
Ron
there,
Paul's been on this show three times.
I know, but his entire agenda is just kind of flaky, and you know, like I said,
see, we allow dissent, though. You can you can occupy Stephanie Miller.
Absolutely,
you got to do is buy me a drink.
And bottom line, he's entertaining as hell, right?
Yeah,
that's why we have him on.
He's always
buy me a drink. Tell me I'm pretty.
Yep,
you can occupy me. Ask anyone. Okay, let's go. Let's go to.
How do you think I got the job?
Carson in Chicago. That was very begrudgingly. You did that, too. Carson in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carson.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I just wanted to... I heard the Jesse Ventura interview, and I agree with a lot of what he said, but I just wanted to pass along a story. My uncle, when I was growing up in Madison, joined a country club because he... the country club didn't allow black people, and a lot of people questioned him about that. And he said, well, we can only make changes from within. And because I think that the Democratic Party is our best alternative for making change,
right.
I think, you know, that's the message that I live by, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. By the way, we belong to one of those country clubs in Buffalo, and I didn't, you know, but that was back in the day, right? I was a kid. I didn't realize that. They didn't allow blacks or Jews.
And guess what? You know, the country club that he belonged to in Madison now allows black people.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to check on them. You know what? Maybe I'll you know, knock down the doors of the Buffalo country club and see if they've changed their policies. I'll just do a little... I was never very welcome there anyway. Let's.
You should hunt down all of your mom's old friends to see. Excuse me.
That was back when my mom had that dream that I would marry F.W. Pierce III. All right.
That dream died a long time ago.
So many things went awry for my mother. Kirk in Washington State. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning, Mama and Mooks. Hey, I want to hear some Stephanie Miller Show sausage making while I was on hold, and that was
The belching. Yeah.
How about those belches, Kirk, huh? Not bad for a chick.
I'm sure the advertisers are going to love the hell out of that.
Oh, well, unfortunately, we have to edit those out.
That's Chris's job, is editing my burps out of commercial coffee.
Exactly.
So my mother-in-law babysits, house sits, and dog sits for us. And last night, when I got home from work,
she'd left the TV on the 700 Club for our little Jackie. And Jackie was not entertained at all. But I have been thinking that Reverend Chuckles Robertson has not weighed in on the Republican field yet. I wondered if he could do that this morning.
Oh, wow. Which, oh, Jim, wake up over there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, all right. It's Uncle Chuckles has not weighed in.
Well, Michelle Bachmann, of course, is the chosen one because she's calling for the end of time. And the end times are near. And when all the evil people will be tossed into the cauldron, the lake of fire, and their giblets will float to the surface as they're...
All right, fine. Yeah, thanks, Joe. All right.
You know, it's been a while since I've done one of those.
Yeah.
Don't make
them
your dancing poodle.
You need some preparation for that.
Yeah.
I think it may be the end times for the Republican Party. That's
You think so?
Boy, Chris, I just realized that this show really is where dreams go to die. Because I was just thinking, you know what? This cannot have been your mother's dream for you, editing burps out of some radio skanks commercial copy. Can it?
Probably not.
My mother, folks.
Oh, dear.
Mary F.W. Pierce.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Go to the Buffalo Country Club forever, and instead, I'll be taking a picture of my hoo-ha on stage at Shays on Saturday.
Maybe I will edit together all of your burps and send them to your mom.
And dry-humping several people in the front row. My mom couldn't be prouder. Everything's turned out just dandy. 18 minutes after the hour. Oh, heavens. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Total chaos. No rehearsal, no program, and don't even get me started on the monkey.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi. Steffi.
They're going to be flying off today, very shortly.
Yes. They're going to be trotting me around New York City like a show pony tomorrow. We're David Bender and I, who's coming up in just a few minutes.
Yep.
We're apparently there's some demand for us to write a book, which I will do entirely on Chardonnay soap cocktail napkins. Mm-hmm. We have book meetings tomorrow, and then off to Buffalo for Sexy Liberal. Get the last tickets for Shays for Saturday night. Let's go to Richard in Ithaca on Jesse Ventura. Hey, Richard.
Hi. Yes, Jesse Ventura brings a lot of excitement and fresh, insightful and unique thinking and questions to the show. He's very exciting. He strikes a nerve whenever anyone, and especially Ventura, in pointing out so many of the realities of Obama's failings, if you will. He's the best Republican president we've had since Ronald Reagan.
Oh, there we go. It's the old Bill Clinton joke. Wee! All right. Yeah, you know, Jesse's like any other. He's like Ron Paul to me. I'm like, yes, I agree. Yes, I know. What? Oh, that's crazy. Okay. Let's go to Peter in Portland on Jesse Ventura. Hey, Peter.
Oh, buenos dias. That's Cuban for good morning.
Oh, my God. We missed another Herman Cain gag.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I don't speak Cuban.
Oh, God.
You know, the Jesse Ventura thing that angers me, and this is sort of the cynical outlook out there. There's no greater difference that you can point to than George Bush as president as opposed to Al Gore as president. When Republicans are in charge, they deregulate everything, and the result is what happened to the financial market.
Right.
You know,
right.
And with Al Gore there, you have somebody who's a little more serious, who takes global warming seriously, who wouldn't have gone into the Iraq or, you know, it just, there's huge differences. They might be minor in terms of how much they can get done, but there's huge differences.
Well,
to say there's not as ridiculous.
Yes,
9/11 would not have happened had Al Gore been president.
Yes,
perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we probably wouldn't have gone into Afghanistan if Barack Obama had been in charge of, you know, getting bin Laden. Let's go to, where are we here? Joe in Long Beach. Hey, Joe, welcome.
Good morning, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, you know what? I hear what Jesse Ventura has to say about having alternatives to the major parties and that the way that they are both corrupt. But the last time that we went that route and voted for Ralph Nader, we kind of handed the presidency to the Republicans.
Yep.
So, I mean, it isn't really viable. I mean, idealism has a way of bumping into real politics. And
that's what
probably
that's
we need.
Right.
That's
exactly
what I
say,
Joe. With campaign finance reform to get the money out, to get all the big special interests out, and that's going to be a start for us.
Yeah.
That's
going
to be real hard to do, though, because there's a lot of money fighting against doing that thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's, I agree, oh, I lost him. All right, but yeah, that's exactly what I've been saying, why I believe in working within the system. To me, get out and vote and put those Elizabeth Warrens in, put the Alan Graysons in, put the people in that will get the things done that you want. That will get the public Medicare for all, or the public option at least.
Look
or
what happened to Kasich. Actually, voting works.
Yes.
Get out there and
absolutely.
Yes. Thank you,
vote
Jim.
Vote as if your vote counts.
Jim just, he just said something happy and hopeful. Now I need to say something totally, totally downer.
Uh-oh.
All right. This White House shooting suspect, by the way, I was talking to Jesse Ventura about. Yeah, Gawker saying, if you want to play what's this guy's deal, here's something to start with. They released photographs showing him with distinctive tattoos, including the word Israel on the left side of his neck.
Oh, boy. Who's
so
this now?
The guy that shot
the White House,
yesterday.
Yeah. Interesting.
Hmm.
And the bullet hit the window in the residence.
Yeah. Isn't there been a lot of rhetoric from Republican candidates about how the president's bad for Israel? And
yeah.
Just saying.
Hmm.
Oh, and look, Jim, it's some more Republican comedy. Hours after Pennsylvania State Police arrested a 21-year-old Idaho man for firing a semi-automatic rifle at the White House, the top student official for college Republicans at the University of Texas tweeted that the idea of assassinating President Obama was tempting.
Huh. Right-wing gun nut in Idaho? Really?
University
you don't say.
Texas Lauren Pierce wrote, y'all, as tempting as it may be, don't shoot Obama. We need him to go down in history as the worst president we've ever had.
Not
going to
happen.
Mm-hmm. Pierce,
the position is taken. His name is George Bush.
Pierce told ABC News the comment was a joke, and the whole shooting incident was stupid.
Hilarious.
Giggling, she said an attempted assassination would only make the situation worse.
Yeah, and some right-wing asshats took Gabby Giffords to task for mentioning Sarah Palin. The woman who put a bullseye.
Crosshairs on her.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Funny. 29 minutes after the hour, we return with Bender next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ms. Whiskey, every time you step into that machine, you invite the possibility of altering the world as we know it.
Jim, how do you say
I want one of those.
Stephanie Miller show in Cuban?
El show de Stephanie Miller.
Sábado gigante.
Es fantástico.
All right, 1-800-STEPH-12. Hey, Sexy Liberal Facebook, Bon Seal put some new pictures up from Austin.
Nude pictures?
New pictures. Pictures of my hot girlfriend, Jim. Hot pictures of Lisa from Austin.
Damn.
Okay.
Damn.
Is there HLA?
What's that?
Hot lesbian action?
No. Just pictures of Von Seal and all the gang in Austin. And there's several versions of me doing hook 'em horns.
Oh, God. Don't do that.
It's not a natural for me.
No.
This looks a little satanic when I do it.
Well, looks satanic when George Bush does it, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, kids.
Satanic.
It's time to return.
Return
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Return
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Return
David Bender.
Yay.
David
Bender. Hello, David Bender.
Hey, show pony.
They're getting ready to trot us around like little book show ponies in New York tomorrow.
Are you coming here so I can mount and occupy you?
Yes. yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes. Come on. You know, that won't get Jim excited, unfortunately.
Yes, you know, due to despite my, as you know, very heavy drinking and, you know, attempts to sabotage myself, there apparently is big demand for a book. And you and I are...
but it must be done entirely in Chardonnay-soaked napkins.
Exactly.
Which actually,
did you hear the news, by the way, that apparently, I can't really say where, a major newspaper He's going to be doing a piece about the phenomenon that is the Sexy Liberal Tour. Huh. Just in time.
How about
for us to peddle our wares.
And does that music have to accompany every time there's a news bulletin?
Yes.
But we love that, though. You know, you can open the newspaper and you'll get the theme music.
Yes, hello.
Speaking of trying to explain things that people don't understand, hey, Chris, as we were coming back in, that was Stewie, right?
Yes, it was.
Could you explain to Stephanie who Stewie is?
Stewie is the evil baby from Family Guy.
I get it. Listen, this is an inside. David and I had a squabble over whether someone would get a joke about Stewie. And everyone knows who Stewie is.
Everybody knows who Stewie is.
Shut up. You're always on David's side.
No, everybody knows who's. You just don't watch TV, Stephanie.
Why do boys always gang up on me on my own show? All right, David Bender. It's as we've said before. This insane clown car on the right. I don't even know what to say. Herman Cain has like a gaffe. Not even a day. It's like an hour lately, right?
But it's working for him, and it's not working for him to win the nomination.
No.
That was never really the issue. It is absolutely perfect. If you do Gaffomatic,
yes,
does that not qualify you for your own Fox show? Isn't that the very low bar that you know will serve anyone a drink?
Yeah,
that's what this is.
He'll have
a show
in a montage of weird campaign moments. This one yesterday, listen to this.
It's been reported that Iran is pushing its nuclear program. It might be close to developing a nuclear weapon.
Excuse me. Who brought me the water that I did not get?
It's out in the hall.
It's out in the hall.
David, would you just, if you were, because you've been a campaign strategist, would you just have your head in your hands the entire time?
I would be out smoking a cigarette.
Like
Mark
Block. Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's my job. My job is to be smoking guy. And you understand this guy is going to be doing commercials for please don't do this, kids, because this is how you get lung cancer. The Herman Cain campaign is not a campaign. Okay, so long as people understand that this is, and I was reading this somewhere earlier, and this is spot on. Sarah Palin made $12 million last year as a non-candidate, as someone who was pretending to potentially be a candidate for president. $12 million is a pretty damn good, it's more than Newt Gingrich is making as a candidate. And Herman Cain is going to be inheriting that slot. He will be the guy that people pay to say things, as Sarah Palin said them over the course of the last 2 years, that are outrageous, that are incendiary, that are funny. He'll sing. He bursts into song.
Yes.
He wears a hat.
Yes.
He is an insane
clown. He does look cute in that hat.
He looks cute in the hat, yeah.
Yes.
No, absolutely. I'm getting a hat. I will have a hat when I see you tonight.
Yeah, you know, somebody was saying, I swear to God, this must be a plot to try to make liberals say things that sound racist, because I'm going, are you kidding with that hat? Seriously? Yeah.
It's not racist. It's, you know, he has his own style. He has his Cain style. But
so,
the point is, if we take him seriously, we are doing exactly what he wants us to do, which is to help raise his fee for when he signs with Roger Ailes. That's what he wants.
Well, your thoughts on the brand new frontrunner Newt Gingrich?
Well, now that is that's a horse of a different color.
Yeah, perfect.
The truth is, Newt Gingrich is a credible alternative
in
this weird alternate reality that is the Republican Party, not your father's Republican Party. Since we know that Mitt Romney tops out at 25% nationally, and we know that they have been looking for a conservative alternative, Newt is that. He's got the credentials. He is someone who can say, I understand. In fact, it's funny. He is now saying, we've tried amateur hour with Barack Obama. I'm a guy who understands how Washington works.
Yeah, I'm an insider.
Yeah, I'm an insider. And you know, how do the Tea Party folk like that? But the truth is, he is credible at being able to say, you know, I really do understand what's going on in Iran and Iraq. He doesn't ask for a glass of water. He can deal with that. He speaks Cuban. and so the problem with this, in this weird alternate, you know, sort of bizarro universe that is now the Republican field, is in an Iowa, in a South Carolina, maybe not New Hampshire, but possibly in Florida, Newt Gingrich could be the guy, the same way John McCain was that guy, who is left standing for the right wing of the Republican Party. That's possible.
What does that say about the Republican Party today?
What does it say about America?
Yeah. Yeah,
that one of the two major parties could look at a Newt Gingrich. Look, the guy was Speaker of the House. He was almost written out on a rail as Speaker of the House. And now, by the way, what we're starting to see in dribs and drabs, this Gingrich consultants, you know, having done the work, for Freddie, in which he said, you know, I did no lobbying, but I gave them strategic advice. I offered my help. You're going to see as he rises up. This is what Mitt has been spending his time doing. Mitt is trying to be that last guy standing, and his people are quietly doing the same thing that Obama's people are doing on him. They have a bunch of opposition research that will be dumped on Newt, like those anvils in the old Bugs Bunny or Roadrunner.
Yes. Be a big bat of exploding Acme birdseed will be dumped.
It'll all be Acme dropped on Newt's head sometime around late December, early January. Well, late December before Iowa. So, you know, let him rise to the top, and that Acme stuff will drop on his head. And then somebody else. Then, by the way, wait for it, Rick Santorum. You can even
No.
He has been living in Iowa. There are two candidates who have tried the I am going to move to Iowa strategy. One is Michelle Bachmann, who can't remember where she was born in Iowa, John Wayne Gacy.
Yes.
And the other is Rick Santorum. And he, if Newt gets anviled out of the race, Rick Santorum could possibly be the guy who rises up in the last six weeks in Iowa to win Iowa. No, winning Iowa only means you've won Iowa.
Didn't Pat Robertson win Iowa?
Your new frontrunner, Gary Johnson. What? Is he still in it? Yeah.
Fred Karger. Maybe Fred Karger has a...
Fred Karger is living in New Hampshire.
There you go.
Well, I got high with Gary Johnson last night, and he says he's still running.
Oh, awesome. Well, good job. Good job.
Thanks. It was fun.
I just want to throw a different one at you. Pat Buchanan suggests NAMBLA and gay marriage caused the Penn State scandal.
Yeah. Except it started in the 70s. Before gay marriage was an issue.
You know, it really is. You have to wonder why Pat Buchanan is still given a microphone.
Yes,
and that's the only thing that is that comes to mind when he has quotes that are made public. He will say anything. He is not only the doddering old uncle, but he's the guy that you actually say it's time for assisted living, Pat.
Yeah.
You know, really, you can't live with us anymore. It just you're frightening the children.
Yeah. By the way, it can't be said too many times. Jerry Sandusky is a married man who fathered and raised four children with his wife. He is not a homosexual. He's a pedophile.
Alleged
pedophile.
Standards and practices.
Yes.
He is alleged.
Pardon me.
And but that is the point. Most examples of child abuse or child sexual abuse come from heterosexuals.
He had access to the boys' shower, not the girls' shower. You know, maybe he would have preferred to be in the girls' shower. Who knows?
It doesn't even matter because it really isn't about sexuality in the way that you understand it.
Right.
It is about a disorder. The guy is sick, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of not allegedly, you mentioned Sarah Palin.
I did.
Yeah. She's prepared to personally lynch Jerry Sandusky because she adds so much to the dialogue in our country. She said, "Hang him from the highest tree. Wow. I'll bring the rope."
She could talk him to death.
That sounds a little like Rick Perry and Ben Bernanke, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I love Gawker does this story by saying, former political person Sarah Palin, who's still performing her role as occasional wackadoodle on Fox News. Yeah, it's just, that's the thing. It's like, what do these people add to the dialogue in our country, you know?
Rating points for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Apparently.
Yes.
Apparently. You know, because I was saying yesterday, David, that, I get it that this is an emotional thing and I'm as angry as anybody over it. But, you know, we also have a system of justice. So when I hear jokes about, they aren't going to treat him well in prison, you know, we don't sentence people to be raped in prison. That's not part of our justice system, you know. So I just think sometimes some of the rhetoric, you know, even on the liberal side gets over the top.
It is completely over the top. And this is the problem. We are now in a country where American justice is frontier justice. It is guilty until proven innocent. It is true of absolutely everyone. And so when people actually suggested that maybe we ought to put some of these alleged terrorists on trial, they were considered unpatriotic. I'm completely with Jim on this, that you know, it is absolutely indefensible to me that we look at this. The reason that your father, Stephanie, was a part of something called the Nuremberg trials, where we have the most heinous crimes committed in the history of the planet, was because we believed in the American system of justice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that has gone out the window now.
And yet,
the highest tree.
And yet, as I mentioned earlier on the show, and you and I have talked about in our book proposal, he somehow, my brother's war crimes against me completely escaped his attention.
It completely escaped it. And you know, where is the fair? Where is the balance?
Exactly.
It's because he wasn't speaking German while he was tormenting you.
Oh, is that what it is?
Exactly. All right. Okay. See you in New York tomorrow, honey, in our best show pony outfits.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Springtime for us tomorrow. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the waning moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, Charlie from Buffalo. Steph, I heard a polka version of Walking on Sunshine on the radio in Buffalo last weekend. That's why I got to go to Buffalo.
Oh,
I got to get a polka.
No.
I'm a big Polack from Buffalo.
Oh, boy.
I got to get that. Replace the Katrina and the Waves one. All right. Oh, and Chris in Yankton with a question. Is Hoppy Delaplante coming to the Sexy Liberal Show?
See,
my mother doesn't appreciate me using real names.
You yelled at me Hoppy's name. So
yeah.
That's why I didn't bring up Hoppy's name.
It's a man.
But, yes. But
wearing his Thurston Howell III ascot. I don't know.
It's a Yale man.
Is Hoppy still with us?
I don't know. That is an old story. That was from my mother actually calling me and saying, "Steffi, Hoppy Delaplante said she saw you on he saw you on the Tonight Show, and you said penis." Which I did.
Why?
Okay.
Who
can remember? Larry in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Larry.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
I heard you talking earlier about possibly getting in touch with Sandy Beach when you're in town.
Yes, yes. I'm going to see if I can call into his show tomorrow.
Well, you may not actually want to do that. Sandy has the noble honor of following Rush Limbaugh on Buffalo's right-wing station.
Yes.
At 8:30.
I know that.
Oh, okay.
We used to do wacky morning radio together, and I love him no matter what his politics are. Because
okay.
He gave me my start in radio.
Okay, well, right. I just wanted to make sure that...
All right, I didn't know he was a right-wing lunatic, and he didn't know I was a left-wing lunatic, and that's why it was pure love and wacky bit, and lots of slide whistle. It was the 80s, for God's sakes.
Were you a left-wing lunatic back then, or were you still voting for Reagan?
I didn't. No, I was past. I was post-voting for... I was in my apolitical phase.
Okay.
Somewhere, some magical thing in the middle.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember that. That was a really distressing episode for my mom. I remember she called my brother, and she said, "Oh, dear, Steffi was on the Tonight Show. You don't think anyone saw it, do you?"
Oh.
And my brother goes, "Well, we get that here."
Yeah.
We get the Tonight Show in Buffalo. Let's go to Angelique in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Angelique.
Hi, Stephanie. I love you, love you, love you.
Love you back.
You make my life possible.
Oh, my goodness.
Really, every morning I moved to L.A. three months ago from New Orleans because I've just was not able to make a living, couldn't get a job, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's better out here, but it's tough, but I'm doing okay. But my biggest comment, and I mean nobody's saying it, is that, we need to be so eager and ready to see Obama in a second term without reelection. We need to see what he's going to do as a lame duck. I think he's just going to be unleashed. And, you know, because, you know, he's had to do what he's had to do to stay in office and get reelected.
Right.
And, you know, people don't understand this. And these young, I love these young people that really just went all out, you know, bless their little hearts, their little idealistic heads, bless them all together. But they don't understand. And that's why they didn't go out in 06 for the congressional elections, because they were mad at Obama, because they don't get it. They don't get it. It's a big picture. You know, it's hard.
Well, let's hope we do. You know, Angelique, let's hope we do get it by the time, you know, it's time to vote.
We need to make them get it. You know, and we need the occupiers to understand. What is the alternative?
Yeah,
to
get him,
for God's sakes.
Yeah, get Obama in and get a bunch of Elizabeth Warrens, and then let's see, right?
Yeah.
All right.
We need some real Democrats in Congress.
Let's do it. Thank you, sister. Right. I make her life possible.
It ain't a man's world.
You two make mine unbearable. All right.
But you provided the egg? That's five on that unlikely.
I don't know. Looky here, Tennessee Republican on Muslims in the military. We can't trust them.
Oh, boy.
Is it me, or is this a particularly racist, homophobic, sexist pack of Republicans these days? Yeah.
It's kind of par for the course for Republicans, isn't it?
Asked whether
Muslims
should be forced out of the military, he said absolutely, yeah. He was talking to the Preserving Freedom Conference. We can't have Muslims in our military because we cannot trust them. Many in the crowd gave him a standing ovation.
So, according to him, we can't trust Muhammad Ali, can't trust Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No, I wonder if he had any more thoughts on the Muslim commander-in-chief. Mm. No?
Computer says no.
No. Oh, thank God. The paternity suit has been dropped against Justin Bieber. I was a believer. You know that. There was trouble in Believer Sphere.
Name me one Justin Bieber song.
Anyway, the accused Justin Bieber of fathering her four-month-old, so has dropped her paternity suit. He had agreed to a paternity set. The suit was quietly withdrawn. Last week. Oh, Jim, this is sad. The Wizard of Oz Munchkin has died. Carl Slover has died at 93.
Right. I think there are three left.
He was the first of the three trumpeteers to herald the Munchkin mayor when he makes his entrance.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the last surviving actors who played a Munchkin in The Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
He was 4'5". And one of the tiniest male Munchkins in the movie.
Aww.
Of all the Munchkins.
And he claimed Toto got paid more than he did.
He did.
Yes.
I was
going to
say that. He was paid $50 a week, and he claimed that Toto made more money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bastard people. He was sold by his father at age 9 to a circus.
Oh.
That is really sad. You know what? You know I'm doing my part. If I could, I would bring Minnie Gaga with me to Buffalo, because I will have a mini band open for me at one of the sexy liberals.
Just don't sell her to the circus.
I would not sell Gaga to the circus. I would treat her with the utmost respect. She was in Mini Kiss, my first love in mini bands. Just an LA centric joke. Victoria Beckham shops at Ralph's.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, really?
And
really?
She asked for a 25% discount card.
Oh, come on.
She's worth $255 million, she and her husband.
She
was shopping at an LA Ralph's over the weekend. Before she went to pay, she asked her bodyguard. You know, you have to ask your bodyguard to get the discount coupons at Ralph's.
Really? How much is she paying the
bodyguard? She's into extreme couponing?
Gelson's, Whole Foods, something.
Oh, come on. All
right,
Bristol Farms would be better
something,
for her.
Something, right? Okay.
Well, she doesn't eat, obviously, so she doesn't really care.
She's not familiar with supermarkets. All right, John Fugel saying in for me tomorrow. I am off to Buffalo. Get your tickets. They're going fast. They will be sold out by Saturday night, so get it, sexyliberal.com. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.